At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Football is back, and so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
Say anything. She turned her head the other way and ignored me. And then I...
Did you then move around in front of her and say, I'm sorry, I will not be ignored. Stop talking so loud.
No, I would have had to get off the machine. But then I went to the desk at the end of when I was finished, when I was leaving, and I said, what is the policy here? And he sort of hemmed and hawed, and I said, well, you probably should have a sign up here so it's something I could refer to, that you don't make calls on, you know, it's just like nobody plays their music loud on their phone or anything. You have headphones, so same thing. So
that's so funny because normally I love to eavesdrop on people having those conversations. I don't mind it. I'm like, oh, good. You're letting me listen into your daily bullshit. Let's go. Put it on speaker is what I like to say.
Well, the next step is to say to the other people in the gym, hey, let's all listen to this woman here have a private conversation that she wants everybody to hear.
And we all have to live together on a planet. We have to live, as George Costanza once said, in a society. Elaine, we live in a society.
Right. And when you sign the contract to join the gym, it says you're not supposed to disturb the other members.
Right.
He was disturbing me.
There's got to be rules. Without rules, there's what?
Anarchy.
Chaos. Exactly right. And with that, we say, let's get it on. Today, plausibly live, it's the ZABEcast.
We'll do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Today's guest, sports radio lifer and DC Jewish Sports Hall of Famer, Andy Pollin.
Uh-huh.
See?
And now, let's get to yakking.
Here we go.
Since no names were mentioned there, Andy, I'm leaving that part in. I'm leaving it in. It's good content right there.
Yes, it is.
All right. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good.
I'm doing good. So, due to popular demand, my listeners said, Zabe, you can't do this to your boy Andy. That for the first time in years, his Commanders are not just kind of good, but they're relevant and hot and fun. And you're now going to shift him to an early Sunday morning schedule as if it's July? Boo. Unacceptable. Can't do it. Multiple emails from people unsolicited saying, I couldn't do that to you. And so I thought about it, and I thought, and I said, you know what? They're right. That's called constructive criticism or feedback that I can consider. Other insulting emails that just, you know, you wake up on the wrong side of the bed and you want to lash out at somebody, and so you pick old El Baldo to choose violence on. Those aren't helpful. Those emails, though, were helpful. I thought, and I thought, and I said, you know what? They're fucking right. And that's why I'm talking to you tonight after the Ravens beat the Commanders in Baltimore today by a touchdown. How you doing?
I'm fine, and I'm here to serve the people. So if this is what the people demand, then I'm here for you in the evening.
Okay, so I was keeping one eye on that game while the Packers were just completely turning the Cardinals inside out. One of the worst performances I've seen by an opponent in a long time for the Packers. I mean, the Cardinals committed like 12 penalties in this game, and they couldn't get out of their own way. Packers were playing very efficiently, 34-13, your final score from Green Bay. But I kept my left eye on the Commanders and the Ravens, and they were hanging. But it's a little bit elusive, the 30-23 final score, because the Commanders did score 10 points in the fourth in a frantic comeback mode. How close was the game? What did in Washington?
Well, I mean, their defense is bad. I mean, that's the bottom line there. And they played the best defense by far that they played. I mean, you and your Packer buddies may be celebrating a victory. Cardinals stink. They're terrible. And the team that the Washington beat the week before, Cleveland, is an absolute mess.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So this game, look.
It's a real team. You guys played a real team, and they're tough. They're tough.
They're good. And as Bill Parcells says, there's no medals for trying. But Jaden Daniels continues to be impressive. He had some plays today that made him look like a 10-year veteran. I mean, he is getting better and better week by week. I mean, this was a better team. And really, it wasn't the Washington offense that lost this game. The defense is awful. Derrick Henry ran for like 160 yards. And the secondary is a joke. Zay Flowers had a career high for yards and catches in the first half.
Had 9 catches in the first half, and then they never went back to him in the second half because they were just doing other stuff, and they were having Henry run roughshod as well.
Yeah,
I saw where the two number one picks, or two number one picks, not the two, but they've had multiple, but linebacker Jamin Davis and Emmanuel Forbes, both number one picks under the old regime, healthy scratches yesterday. And that none of the players drafted by the old regime were on the field yesterday or on Sunday.
Right. Right. The four number one draft picks that they had under the coach-centric operation of Ron Rivera are all either inactive or gone.
Wow.
Chase Young is on his third team in 2 years in New Orleans. The Jamin Davis, the linebacker, was supposed to play middle linebacker, couldn't do that. They moved him to outside linebacker. They experimented with him as a defensive end this year. I don't know why they still have him on the roster other than for depth. So he was a healthy scratch. And Emmanuel Forbes, who was the reach of all reaches because he had 6 pick sixes in college, but weighs like 120 pounds with rocks in his pocket, cannot play.
Cannot
play.
Literally cannot play. Well, so I'm thinking about this, right? And it's obviously an indictment of both, you know, the Rivera-led regime with the so-called Marty Party, which is Martin Mayhew, Marty Herney.
Right.
And there was like a third Marty in there, right?
I don't think so. Let's just Ernest Borgnine playing Marty in 1954. I think he won an Academy Award for that, as a matter of fact.
I got a hat tip Grant Paulson on WJFK in D.C. for that phrase, the Marty Party. But they have stunk drafting players. And who's left of the Marty Party regime? Is Mayhew still there or is he gone?
I think he's like working as a scout because Adam Peters had worked with him. I think it's San Francisco.
The new GM. The new personnel boss, Peters, who came from San Fran, who was considered a huge get, has actually added a lot of bargain basement, you know, free agents who have been playing and contributing. He's done a fantastic, cost-effective job. He's trying to clean up the goddamn mess from the previous regime.
Absolutely. And it is an absolute mess. And look, you can't rebuild everything at once. That's what they used to try to do. Oh, let's get a few high priced guys and they can shore everything up. No, they knew that the defense was going to be weak this year. And it's all about developing the quarterback. And they have. They've done a great job. The offensive line's been good. And he got a couple of really good guys. This guy, Nick Allegretti, who played with the Chiefs, has fit in very nicely. Tyler Biadasz, the center. They got
Taylor Biadasz.
Whatever it is. They call him Badass. He is a badass.
Right.
Yeah. And Andrew Wiley, who stunk last year, has been good. And they gave Sam Cosmi a second contract. So, you know, the offensive line is quite good this year.
Yeah. Lamar was 20 of 26, 300 plus yards, touchdown and a pick. Derrick Henry, 24 for a buck, 32 plus two touchdowns. That's a monster day right there. Yeah. But Daniels is 24 of 35, 269, and more importantly, two touchdowns, no INTs. I'm looking on various websites. They have not yet added this game six to his five-game pile of stats. But his five-game pile of stats plus this one, well, the five-game numbers are 77% completions, four touchdowns, two INTs, add two more touchdowns, so it'll be six over two. And he has run the ball incredibly well also without getting into too many train wrecks, which I worried about.
Right. No, he, if you've watched him the last few weeks, he is staying out of harm's way. When he runs,
for the
he
most
runs
part.
Out of
he got yeah. crunched on that keeper near the goal line where
okay,
I go, oh, but, boy. But that's going to happen.
By and large, he's protecting himself. He's running out of bounds. And you know what they are on fourth down this year?
What?
9 for 9. And one of the touchdown passes that he threw today was on fourth down, and it was a beauty to Terry McLaurin.
Right.
He's accurate. I mean, there's really it's really – this is going to be – it may turn out to be a 30 for 30. What if I were to tell you that the most dysfunctional team in the history of sports has turned it around in 2 years?
Yeah, turning it around in less than right now they're turning around in one half of one season. What Rivera was trying to tell the media is going to take 3 to 5 years, right?
Yeah. Well, and he made some idiotic statement last year when Sam Howell was his guy, where he said, you know, hey, if they fire me and they win a, you know, they go on and win a championship, send me my ring.
Right.
Well, when Adam Peters was introduced,
send me my ring.
GM,
are you fucking high?
When Adam Peters was introduced as the GM, one of the questions came from David Aldridge, who said, "What do you think of the current roster?" And the pause, I counted it, was 3.5 seconds. You know how long 3.5 seconds is?
He's trying to figure out, what do I say? I don't want to insult some of the players who are here that we're going to keep. But at the same time, I want to be as honest as I can and not be a dick about it. Like, the roster sucks.
30 new players this year. Yeah. What does that tell you?
Yeah, it tells you you're bad. But what a time, though, to be a Commanders fan, because you've got this hot rookie quarterback. He's the number one selling jersey in the league right now. You've got flex fights going on with the networks, as NBC desperately tried to pull this game away from CBS. CBS kept it. That gave you guys Romo and Nance and the A-team at 1 o'clock, which was such a – it was so weird to hear them in the 1 o'clock window, right?
I'm telling you, the woman you walked out on looks really good in a bikini right now.
No,
I'm just telling you.
Andy, did I need to remind you the Packers demolished Arizona?
I understand.
And they got a quarterback in Jordan Love who's really, really good.
Okay.
And seems to be running around just fine after his knee injury that we all thought was going to end his season in Brazil.
I understand you had some rocky years under Snyder, but you had some really good ones when you were in high school. Remember that.
Back to the picks, though. So Davis and Forbes, here's the thing I was thinking about. You know, it's not, you know, Marty Herney was a GM in Carolina. He's been in the league a long time. He's not an idiot. Okay. Martin Mayhew is also not an idiot. You know,
right.
A decent pedigree. Those players and all the other guys that didn't pan out, it's not like they were drafted a full round out of phase, according to what the pundits thought. It's not that when the Commanders took them, the entire NFL draft media went, what? Who's this guy? Some other team was going to take them probably within the same round. Is that fair to say?
I'm not sure about Forbes, but, you know, and Jamin Davis, who knows? Chase Young was a guy that people wanted, for sure.
Oh, he was supposed to be a can't-miss, and he's a complete turd. You said he was on his third team. I saw somebody with a highlight of him running after a guy in New Orleans, and it was so pathetic, the give-up. The give-up that you could see by Chase Young was like, okay, you just don't give a shit anymore.
Well, he had some of that, but played pretty well in the Super Bowl for San Francisco, but he they chose did. Not to bring him back.
Well, right, yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. In yeah. spurts, but this league is not about spurts.
No.
So
no.
I guess my point is, how do you know, like, it still is a bit of a crapshoot. I'm not trying to defend the old regime. All I'm saying is that sometimes you're just consistently missing on what you should be seeing, and you're taking the wrong guy after the wrong guy after the wrong guy.
Well, but here's the thing. They've got division of labor now, which is what they need. You can't have the coach having the final say on draft picks when he hasn't spent the year, you know, studying tape of every college player. You have a special department for that, headed up by a real general manager, which they've never had before. And that was the real problem. Yeah, Marty Herney was a assistant GM or co-GM, and Martin Mayhew was something of the GM, but the coach had the final say. You can't
yeah.
have that.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Speaking of guys that just kind of quit, there was a play in the Carolina-Atlanta game, which was the only watchable game, as the Cowboys were getting blown out, more on them in a second, and the Broncos were getting folded up and yeah. beaten to a pulp by L.A. But there was a play in the Atlanta game where it's 3rd and 10 from like the 12 going into the end zone, and Kyle Pitts, who is a lottery pick, 4th overall pick, can't miss tight end prospect. He's one-on-one, left corner of the end zone, and he quits on his route. And it goes to the back pylon. Kirk puts it right to the back pylon. Mark Sanchez was beautiful in ripping him, going, "But you can't do that. Like, what are you doing? You are the premier target on this play. It's the end zone." And that just shows you that when you come to draft football players, you better be sure they love football, right? That they love it. They're not just, you don't pick them just because they're good at it or they've got great measurables. You got to somehow figure out, how much does this guy love it?
Well, this is our former colleague, Chris Cooley, who played in the NFL for 8-9 years, said you would be surprised as how many players do not like football. They do it because they've always done it and they're good at it.
But they don't like it or they don't love it.
Well, I mean, he said in some cases they don't even like it. You know, it's just, you know, you're 6'3", you're 250 pounds, and your dad, you know, put a football in your hands when you were 6 and you were dominating, you know, at every level.
Right.
And, you know, you're good at it. But it's a hard game and you get hurt. I mean, it's not really fun to prepare to play football, you know. That's another thing that comes up too, like with Tom Brady and, you know, what Baker Mayfield said, that, you know, some of the players told him how stressful it was to play.
Right.
And Tom Brady goes, "You know what's stressful? Not winning rings.
Not
That's
having
stressful.
A Super Bowl." Yeah. Although Mayfield's comments were taken out of context, but whatever.
Okay.
I understand what you're saying. The larger point though, so like, It is fascinating because Romeo Doubs had 2 touchdowns today for the Packers. He missed last week because he just decided to not show up for work. Hmm. Not show up for work, didn't call the team, didn't. They had to go knock on his door. And they're like, "Holy shit, is this guy upright? Is he alone? What happened?" And he just had a moment where, according to reports, he wasn't happy that he was not more involved in the game plan. Now, he finally came back to practice. He was suspended for a week, missed a game check. Missed the game in L.A. They did win that game. But he comes back, and he had 2 great touchdowns today. His teammates all hugged him, and it was all great to have you back, and it's wonderful. Okay, somebody must have gotten in his ear. Because what's dumb about this move is that it shakes the faith in teams to want to pay you the big money on the second contract. That's where the big money is. It's always the second contract. And as good as he is as a player, that's always going to linger now. Like, who is this guy? Who does this? And he said he didn't address the team afterwards. And then he said it wasn't that big of a deal. And that there's more to the story. And there was some personal stuff. And it was something about family. You know, these guys always like to hide behind the family angle. And there was narratives, he said. And I'm just like, dude, no narratives. You didn't show up for work. You didn't tell your team. If you had told your team, "Look, man, I got some stuff going on. I need some personal time." In today's soft NFL, Andy, they probably would have given it to you and they would have covered for you and they would have not suspended you so you could keep that money. The money is important, Romeo. Jesus.
It's too bad for him that Dan Snyder's still not running a team and overpaying him. You know?
Oh, yeah, no. He would be one of those guys for sure. Speaking of the money, have you seen the numbers on the Hassan Reddick fiasco going on right now?
It looks like his representation fired him.
CAA did fire him, but get this. Yeah. If he was to sit out the rest of the season, and it's going by quickly, he stands to lose $21.75 million. He was only scheduled to make $14 million. And then his contract would toll, which means the Jets would retain his rights in full, and we'd be right back to the same square all over again in 2025.
Yeah,
what is he doing?
There's a point where he'll have to report. Trent Williams did this with Washington some years ago, got himself traded and, you know, has had great success with the 49ers. But there is I think that it was 8 games or 9 games, somewhere in there. If you don't report, they can put you on that list and it rolls over. But if you do report, then it doesn't. Yeah.
Hiring with Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Football is back. And so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet. Or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie. You mentioned about, you know, you got to love football and not just like it, and or maybe just like it at least a little bit, because it's brutal. Aiden Hutchinson goes down in the Cowboy game against the Lions with a broken leg, full Theismann-esque action. He was grabbing onto the back of Dak Prescott. His lower body swung out, and his legs were flying in the air, and his leg cracked against the leg of a teammate, shin to shin. And it was his shin that lost the head-on collision. You could see it break right away. He was carted off. The whole stadium went deathly quiet for a long period of time as they got him loaded onto that thing. Heartbreaking for a guy who had really made a leap into possible, you know, defensive player of the year and who's from Michigan and the heartbeat of this Lions revival. This game, as I said in a tweet, you can't write enough rules to make it, quote, safe by any common language interpretation.
Yeah, well, this, when they say safe, they're talking about the head. But
why? Why is the head the only thing that is to be talked about? How about spleen? Leg? I mean, Andy, your other body parts are important too, for God's sakes.
Well, look, the number of players, and I may knock wood on this, I don't know, the number of players who have been paralyzed in NFL games is so relatively low. I mean, there's been some of them, but when you watch these games and the way these guys get hit,
there should be more
thank God there aren't, but you know, and some of them, like, you know, and then when they happen, like, it looks like a routine play. Mike Utley just like fell over.
Yeah, toppled on forward onto his head. Well, thank God that there's not more, but I do think you should at least acknowledge, Andy, that safety goes beyond just head safety.
It is a
you're like, hey, he'll live. He'll probably come back from that pretty strong, given that it's not a knee, it's a bone. You know, they'll patch that up, and at least it's not a knee or something like that.
Well, this is why these players go, you know, hit me high rather than low. You know, a concussion I can come back from in 2 weeks. This, he's out for the season, you know. And this is the mentality that these guys have. Oh, by the way, did you want to talk about what happened with Josh Allen? Missing one play and they diagnosed, oh, yeah, he doesn't have a concussion?
Yeah, let's talk about that. That was a complete and utter farce.
Yeah.
And I joked, well, I guess the blue tent of medical miracles must have a computer in it, which has spot rack up there. And they look up, how much is this player making? Oh, shit, he's a star in the league. Okay, you're fine. Go back out and play. And then I just saw a note that said after a review, they cleared the Texans and the Bills medical staffs for conducting the test properly. And I'm like, yeah. Of course, it's bullshit. It's a cover up.
Yeah, this is like Dr. Andrews. Can Robert go back in the game? Yes, he can go back in the game.
Okay, so Robert go back in the game. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way it works. Yeah. And the league investigation of what happened. Oh, yeah, I'm sure Inspector Clouseau uncovered everything there. My God.
Right. The Cowboys did get destroyed on Jerry's birthday.
Wasn't that great?
It was humiliating on so many levels. The Lions averaged over 10 yards per play.
Yeah, and
Soak that in. Averaged 10 yards per play.
They were trying to get an offensive lineman in the end zone.
Well,
they were trying to humiliate them.
They were, because they were pissed off from last year, even though when the Cowboys, it was the referees that fucked them. When it came to that. But here's the play. They sent out Dan Skipper, the guy who supposedly didn't report as eligible last year, at wide receiver with their backup quarterback. I don't know who's their backup, number two. He was in the game for the Lions at this point. 4 minutes and change to go. It's 47-9. Here's how it sounded on the broadcast with Baby KK and Brady.
I'll tag along with you, KB.
You know what? I'm glad you will.
Believe it or not, Dan Skipper is split out as a wide receiver at the top of your screen right now. Hooker's looking for him. And he gets it. Oh, my goodness. He was ready for it. You don't see this all the time. Your extra tackle lining up as a wideout. How's that route?
I know. I like the twitch. Okay, he's got a little more burst. Now we need a little more retrace, Skip. He was my teammate for, I think, a year, and I saw him on the field pregame. Great guy, really has embraced his role here.
There you go, right there.
Mm. Mm. You know the refrigerator Perry origin from where Ditka got that idea to use him as a running back. Do you know where that started?
I thought I heard this recently. Refresh my memory.
So the year before, the Bears played in the NFC Championship game against the 49ers.
That's right.
And Bill Walsh used Guy McIntyre as a blocking back, and Ditka got crazy mad. Oh, my God, you can't do that. And then he thought, oh, wait a minute. And so, yeah, that's how he started using Refrigerator Perry.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Also, the Eagles survived against a hapless Browns team that once again sent Deshaun Watson out there to stink up the joint.
Mm-hmm.
This stat is one of the more incredible, I don't believe it's real, stats I've ever heard. But at one point today, and I'm not sure if he broke this string, but at one point today, Deshaun Watson was working on a string of being 0-26 on third down conversions.
Right. They didn't have any against Washington last week.
0-26
Yeah,
on third down conversions. An undrafted rookie playing in the NFL trying to figure shit out doesn't survive 0-26. And because of the contract, they have to roll him out. And so one of the first questions posed to Stefanski after the game was, is Deshaun starting next week? And he said yes, without hesitating. And people are now saying, you're going to lose the locker room. There will be a literal mutiny. There will be a fucking brawl inside that locker room at some point with this guy out there as your quarterback.
Yeah, he's the worst quarterback with the worst contract ever.
And the worst guy ever. It's not just the contract. It's not just how bad he's playing. He's a literal scumbag.
Yeah, I mean, does it get to the point where the offensive line gets together and says, let's do an Ole block here, you know?
Right. I mean, if the coach won't take him out, we'll just let nature run its course. That's where you tell the big, mean defensive end on the other team, sort of like in Bull Durham where Crash Davis tips the pitches, hey, I'm going to do you a favor right now, okay? Speak well of me at my funeral. I'm not going to block. Go kill my guy. Kill him.
Yeah. Right. No, he would say it, we're doing a favor to the league, because there's nothing redeeming about this guy. Is there anything at all?
And you know Stefanski would love to switch out to somebody else, anybody else.
Well, but he's got, what's his name? He's got the former Heisman winner as his backup. He played in Tampa for a long time. The crab legs guy. What's his name?
Jameis Winston, yeah.
Yeah, that's a backup.
Eat a W. Yeah. I mean, even Jameis with his rape allegations and his crab leg stealing and his nonsense pregame speeches about eating W's is far more likable than Deshaun Watson.
They got a good defense. I mean, just don't screw it up. You know, you might win some games.
Well, they won games last year with Flacco. And they made the playoffs, and there was a real surge of energy, and they couldn't swallow their pride to go, you know what? We're keeping this guy, and we'll just see who wins the job.
That wasn't the reason. No. They couldn't bring Flacco back because they knew Watson was going to come back and stink, and when he did, you couldn't have this fan screaming to bring back Flacco.
Okay, I know, but my point is just smart strategy would have been keep the old guy who can play, who really lit it up for you guys, as a backup. But that's what we would call, what I call a laboratory sort of analysis that is devoid of media scrutiny, money, ego, etc. Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's if you and I were playing a computer game called the Cleveland Browns, and do you want to keep Joe Flacco at this salary and work him into your cap for next year as a backup? The answer would be yeah. 1,000%. But that's in a computer simulation. You can't account for ego, fans, media, owners, money, etc.
No, they should trade him to a team that's got cap room, throw in some draft picks and pick up his salary. Just get him out of town.
Yeah. Well, the afternoon games today were duds. Tonight's game, which I think just started, is a weird one. The struggling Cincinnati Bengals against the Giants. So it's a football game. There's a baseball game opposite it. Are you going to watch? What are you going to watch tonight?
I'm watching baseball currently.
And what's the score right now? Mets Dodgers game one, NLCS.
Scoreless. It's the bottom of the, bottom of the first inning. Two outs. Scoreless.
Okay. Did you watch any of the baseball this weekend, including the thrilling fifth and final game between the Guardians and the Tigers?
I did, and I saw yet again another ex-National, Lane Thomas, go with a grand slam. That was something else.
Yeah, so Skubal was incredible for the Tigers. Yeah. He's their ace, Cy Young to be, no doubt about it. But he had basically two pitches only that cost him five runs. Otherwise, he had pitched 17 innings in the series over two games and had held the Indians or Guardians scoreless. And that's just baseball for you. Yeah. I'm enjoying baseball, even though the Brewers are out. I'm looking forward to the LCSs, even though it does include three of the four highest payrolls in baseball.
Well, yeah, I mean, and last year, even though you had the two teams with the most losses ever in the World Series, the Rangers had one of the highest payrolls in baseball, if not close to the highest. So, we do have teams that get in there, and this could be a Mets. And also, you know, the fact that the Mets looked out of it and could wind up in the World Series is pretty interesting. And they do have a big payroll, but a lot of it is money that they had to absorb from guys that they've gotten rid of. So, look, the one thing that baseball has done, which has been great, is the pitch clock. The games are now watchable.
They really are. And that was one thing. I'm glad you bring that up. That's one thing I really noticed watching. I'm watching more postseason baseball because the pace of the game is enjoyable. The pace, The pace. The people who argue about, well, who cares if a game is 2 hours and 52 minutes versus 3 hours and 25 minutes? You're missing the point. I get pulled in watching these baseball games because the next pitch is coming at a regular interval.
Yeah,
regular interval.
Scooble throws with like 10 seconds left on the pitch clock. Love that guy.
Exactly. Mm. All right, we end on this. There are currently three of them in the NFL. They are as rare as a horned rhino on the Serengeti. Cornerbacks in the NFL. Riley Moss, Cooper DeJean, and Ethan Bonner. Moss plays for Denver, DeJean for the Eagles. Both played at Iowa together. And Bonner plays for the Dolphins. One of the OG great white corners, who we had the pleasure of meeting, Andy, one time, Pat Fisher, former Redskin, diminutive Pat Fisher, 5'9"?
Yeah, that's what he's listed as, yeah.
Passed away this past week. Take it from here.
Well, I mean, he was actually one of the first free agents. They had something called the Roselle Rule. And if you went from one team to another, Roselle would decide the compensation. And he didn't like how things were going in St. Louis. So he came to the Redskins in 1968, and they gave up like a second and a third round pick. And he went on to 10 great years, was part of the Over the Hill gang with George Allen. But he played in an era where things were a little bit different. And so he used to be able to chop guys down. And some of the best battles he had was with Harold Carmichael, who was like 6'8".
Oh, yeah.
A foot taller.
Comically taller. Yes.
Yeah. And he was that tough. But and you know, these big running backs, he had this tackling style, which was very interesting. He would go for one leg and like lift it up. And so now the guy was, you know, hopping, and that's how he could topple him over. He couldn't obviously meet him head on and tackle him. And he took on Larry Zonka, who was like, you know, 230 pounds, and John Riggins when he played for the Jets. You know, they went head to head. I mean, he was a tough, tough guy. But I believe some of that ultimately caught up with him because he did have dementia and spent like the last 10 years of his life in assisted living. But he was something else.
Circa 2001, I want to say. Pat Fisher came into the studio with you and I to do a hit on our afternoon show, The Sports Reporters. And, or was it even called that then?
Yeah, it was.
Okay, it was still. And he came on, and he came in, and he was very nice, but he was very aggressive, shaking my hand, and pretty much threatened to fight me for like no reason whatsoever. And I'm like, Pat, I grew up watching you as a kid. You're one of my idols. What do you mean you want to fight me? And he had a grip that was like a fucking orangutan, man. I was like, let go. Please let go.
And at one point I asked him about losing the Super Bowl in 1973, and he not only didn't answer, he just didn't say anything. He just stared at me, and then he came over during the commercial break and punched me in the shoulder. Not enough to hurt me, but like, you know, he was a feisty guy. He really was.
And sadly, because no one had cameras on their phones, we have no digital assets of that. I wish I had an old photograph. I wish I had a camera with me at all times. Good to take at least a picture, you know, with these guys.
Yeah, that was fun. But we got good memories.
Yeah, memories fade, though, and then we're going to die. And then what's
going to happen? Well, okay. That's a nice thing to say, but okay. Yes, that's true.
I mean, I don't think I'm breaking news here, Andy.
No, hope it's not today, tomorrow, or anytime soon,
but, you know, eventually. You know me. Yeah. I love the assets. You know, you look back and go, oh, there we are with Pat Fisher.
Yeah, yeah. So
rest in peace.
Remember. Yeah,
Pat was 87, I want to say.
No, he was. I think he was in his 83 or 84, something like that.
All right, very good. All right, Andrew, it's good to have you back on Sunday nights, not on Sunday mornings, where you can recap the latest doings of your beloved Commanders.
It's exciting times. We still have a chair for you.
Well, you got the Panthers next. That should be a win. And then the Bear game at FedEx, which you're going to. So the 1-2, Caleb versus Jaden Daniels is going to be lit. Caleb Williams had a bomb game in London.
Yeah.
Four touchdown passes. Yes, he is. So
yeah.
It's a coming. It's a coming.
Both of them look like they're going to be really good. Yes. Yeah.
Because at its essence, Andy, the NFL is what? A television show about quarterbacks.
Oh, they're going to be started on the Monday Night Flex. Yes,
that's it. That's all it is. It's a TV show about quarterbacks, and it prints money.
And I know you're wrapping up, but the old redhead hinted this week that the Super Bowl could be played overseas in the not-too-distant future.
Oh, yeah. He said he wouldn't be surprised in his lifetime. He'd be surprised if it didn't go somewhere internationally. I have a controversial hot take on that, though. You want to hear it real quick?
Sure.
Who fucking cares? Fine. If it's coming from Germany or London, like, we've already worn out the usual spots here in the U.S., and we've gone to a bunch of places we shouldn't, Jacksonville, Minneapolis, and others, so fuck it. Send it to Paris. Why do I care? It's a TV show. It's a TV show about the last game of the year in a series about quarterbacks. Fine. Send it
except that your fan bases, well, they don't get tickets anyway, but that's a long schlep and a lot of money.
The fan bases. You think the redheaded spokes ape gives a shit about the common fan? That's quaint.
That's not what he says, though. It's all about the fans for him.
Of course it is. All right, Andy, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Isaac, thank you. Easy like Sunday morning.
Yeah. Football is back. And so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet. Or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.